Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Apparently, the Republican Congress undid something that the Republican Congress redid after the Democrats undid something.
Well, Daryl, this is a radio
show.
They
repealed a repeal that was repealed previously by a repeal.
Right. We really should be on television because this is going to require... whiteboards and teleprompters and
flow
like the
charts,
the
guy with
the green screen with like the weather to
What I was thinking was you've seen the picture where it's the guy and he just looks all out of his mind and he's got the board behind him with all the little thumbtacks and the string tied everywhere and it says, you know, like me trying to explain fill in the blank to my friends.
Yeah. So, not for the first time, the Second Amendment rights of more than 4 million Americans are at risk. And the previous headline would have read, thanks to the Obama administration, but this time the headline reads, thanks to Republicans in Congress.
Thanks, Obama.
Well, I don't know who you say. How many Republicans are there in Congress? Can we thank them all?
Right. But remember, like halfway through the Obama administration, everything was still George Bush's fault.
From my experience, having gone to a bunch of like protests and gatherings and stuff like this, the majority of people there have no idea why they're there. They're just there either one because they know a few people that are going, so they follow the herd. And, you know, there's some people there that are actually part of organizations that are, you know, championing something in some way. But the majority of people, they see a Facebook event and they show up. And then, like, I've had, when I went for the rally for the Republic, which was about, like, free speech, that kind of stuff, I was live streaming the speakers. Never cut the live stream, right? Started interviewing counter-protesters. Some counter-protester in the exact same live stream as all of the speakers that I just filmed started quoting the speakers as having said things they never said. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. But yet, here's this angry mob of people, right? And tons of tax dollars being used when there's like 10,000 police officers.
Of course.
All like there for crowd control, like trying to combat like people that have no idea what the heck they're talking about. They're just there emotionally responding because they read somewhere on the internet that... You know, there's a bunch of racists giving a speech, so they show up. Didn't even listen to the speech. They just
in their defense, details. From what I heard, they were far enough away to where they couldn't actually hear the speakers anyway.
Just before President Obama left office, his administration finalized new regulations banning Social Security recipients from buying a gun if they had trouble managing their finances. About 10%.
So, pause right there,
ahead.
Because a lot of people were... just cutting the sentence short,
right,
and saying everybody on Social Security is going to have to give up their guns.
You do get
because
that
people
that
don't
was
finish reading sentences,
right? That was part of it, but the issue is
legislation,
but to be accurate, that's exactly what it is, and there are a lot of reasons and a lot of people that may be subject to this sort of a rule. So it's, you're right, it's not and it's it's people that can't manage their finances, but that can be pretty broad, particularly when we consider, you know, people that are coming back from overseas fighting wars. They're suffering from PTSD and things like that. So you could have younger, certainly younger people that, you know, have been in the military, but for reasons that they have sought help with either the VA or someone else to help them manage their budget and help kind of get back into the mainstream, they find themselves, excuse me, a little frog in my throat, they find themselves in the same position. What this does is just pretty much labels, you know, anyone, including people that are on Social Security, as not capable.
Something that a lot of people aren't really aware of, and, you know, diverting off of this a little bit, the mental health aspect.
Sure.
To where right now, if someone is involuntarily committed, and that could just be as, you know, benign as I'm feeling a little depressed. I don't necessarily want to go get help. But Chris then takes me to the hospital and says, hey, my friend over here is a little depressed and they have a chat with me. Yeah, you know what? We're going to keep Daryl over a weekend.
Right.
That's an involuntary commitment.
Yep.
And based on, you know, some bureaucratic rules and paper pushing, I could possibly wind up never being allowed to own a gun.
Most likely.
Because I was depressed and Chris wanted to get me help.
Yep. House Rules Committee Chairman Pete Sessions, a Republican of Texas, said during testimony late Wednesday that he was, quote, disturbed, unquote, that the bill would undo part of Republicans' good work. But by Thursday morning, the House leadership had decided to go ahead with the measure. Despite the name Fix Nix, the bill is likely to cause more problems than it's worth. Criminals are often dumb, and they are rarely so stupid as to buy a gun through a legal background checks process. The people who get stopped are law-abiding citizens who simply have similar names to the criminals in the Nix list.
Same way that a lot of people, like, what was it, 5-year-old boy was on the no-fly list because he had a name similar to a terrorist?
I was actually going to comment on what you guys were speaking about, this Social Security gun ban, which I believe was first attempted under the Obama administration.
Yes, and that was mentioned at the beginning, and it's not everybody on Social Security.
Right.
Despite what some people on the internet try to say, because, you know, reading comprehension, it is only certain people. Not that that necessarily makes it any better, but right, it's not as bad as what some people are trying to say that it is.
Yeah, and well, I wouldn't say it's not just reading comprehension, because obviously people can read. But it is the interest of spin, and we have become such a spin-centric society. I mean, people on the left want to spin things their way. People on the right do the same. It's just
libertarians
polarized.
Do the same.
Yeah, exactly. It's every single corner, so everybody's just...
Because clickbait. You want to get rid of clickbait? Click here. I'll tell you how.
This one simple trick can show you how to get rid of clickbait. Go ahead, Stefan.
Don't apologize. You're fine. But basically, this could affect a lot of people that don't even realize it, because I was put on Social Security when I was younger, and I never even knew it until I turned 18 years old.
Right.
And my family were registered as my payees. And under that kind of a ban, I would have gone to fill out the background check, and they would have turned me down right then and there.
Psychology is not just human behavior. It's also the body's physical response to stimuli, which is the science aspect of it.
I don't dispute
that. So you can manufacture certain behaviors in targeted individuals by, you know, doing certain things. Do you know what I'm saying?
You can try to describe them.
There's a cause and effect relationship.
Sometimes
there is, but there's all sorts of examples where depression for you and the drugs that might work for you are going to be completely different than possibly even Daryl's symptoms.
But you gotta anybody has depression, there is something that is triggering the chemicals in the brain to release that produce this depression. It's
right,
all
but it
a
doesn't,
system.
But,
and it's curable the same way a cold is. So when you start getting depressed, your brain has a cold. Your mind has a cold, which you can treat. It's not just make-believe stuff.
No, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying it's make-believe stuff. Depression is absolutely real. Bipolar is absolutely real. All these things are absolutely real. What I question is whether we have developed the real scientific means to specifically identify each one of these things, or maybe there's a million different versions of them that all act a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And the question of whether we can actually effectively treat them across a broad spectrum of people.
We can't.
John Locke continues to write, the people who get stopped are law-abiding citizens who simply have similar names to the criminals on the Nix list. These false positives are a real problem. From 2006 to 2015, the National Instant Crime Background Check System, or Nix, denied gun purchases by 826,144 people. Oh my God, 826,000 criminals tried to buy guns. No. But all those denials led to only 488 prosecutions in the whole 10-year period.
So that just means that those 488 people each tried to buy a gun 1,500 times.
No, what it means is those 488 people were actually felons that shouldn't have been attempting to purchase a gun. The other remaining, whatever, 826,144 minus 488 are false positives. That's the issue. And I've been on the wrong end of this thing too. I got an unable to determine, and basically they were telling me that I would have to contact NICS and try to figure out why I got denied. The next time I went to go buy a gun, it was fine, no problem. You know, sometimes I get like a 3-day delay when I try to purchase long guns in New Hampshire for whatever reason.
I was a witness once in a trial, and I had a prosecutor tell me that when she interviewed me a second time going before a grand jury, she tried telling me that the first time they had sat down with me, I said something different than the second time. And right. I swear to God, on my daughter's life, it was word for word exactly what I told her, exactly what I told the defense attorney, right. exactly what I told everyone, because I was just a witness.
Right.
But she tried to present the idea that I'd said something different in the first interview, and I was like, I wouldn't have said that.
This was the prosecutor?
Yeah,
so
in Boston.
Was your testimony...
Well, at the time, I didn't think anything of it.
Was it supporting the defendant? Is that why she was trying to mix it up?
I would literally witnessed two people fight and one dude pulled a knife.
Right, but were you considered a prosecution witness or a defense witness?
Right.
I don't know.
Because if you were considered a defense witness, then the prosecutor is going to do everything they can to say you're an incompetent witness.
The defense attorney showed up at my door one day and asked if he could talk to me, and I said yes.
Right.
So I told the prosecutor and the defense attorney the same thing. I'm like, I'm telling you both what I saw. That's all I can do.
Right. But
it was the fact that when she talked to me the second time, she...
This is
right.
These are the games
to say that you're an incompetent witness.
Right. She was trying to get you thrown out, your testimony thrown out, because it damaged her case. This is an easy problem to fix, says this article. The government needs only hold itself to the same standards it demands of companies performing background checks on their employees.
So this that is being referenced are the false positives.
Right.
That are currently found in the NICS system, to where from 2006 to 2015, over 825,000 people were denied because they failed the NICS background check. But during that 10-year period, there were only 488 people that were actually prosecuted. And of those that were prosecuted, less than half were convicted of anything.
Correct.
Related to this.
Right. And what he goes on to say is, adding more names to NICS will only result in more false positives because you're not really changing anything. Democrats want to fix NICS, but they won't even accede to Republican requests mandating the full annual NICS reports that the Obama administration discontinued in 2010. Another part of the spending bill provides $50 million for the Stop School Violence Act, which will provide schools with training in how to cope with attacks and how to identify violent-prone individuals. Despite President Trump's push to encourage schools to arm teachers and staff, the bill expressly forbids school from using any federal money to do just that.
I'm willing to pay taxes. I'd rather not pay like an arm and a leg, but I'm willing to contribute
to Planned
taxes.
Parenthood and
I think local taxes are where it's at.
Wars?
I think. Huh?
To wars.
You know,
well,
I think,
she said local, so...
I said local taxes, but you know what? I'm for local defense, too, and I think that...
I like that.
I like, you know, so yeah, you know what? Sometimes there's going to be war, okay? Hopefully, you know, I'll always try to be on the right side of whatever issue, but if, you know, I'm going to defend the people I love and care about, and I expect nothing less from anybody else on this planet, that's kind of like the golden rule, do unto others. Like, if another country is so depleted of resources that their only chance of survival is to take on the USA, then, dude, like, I don't blame you for doing it.
I would be the first person to voluntarily help fund should there be an attack on U.S. shores.
Do you know what I'm saying? But that's what... But if...
Right, that's fair.
Like, I think, you know, unnecessary wars, you know, got to stop. I think a lot of the, you know, faulty intelligence, there's a lot of bad stuff in Washington. I think there could be better leadership. I think what we have now is not good leadership. And but I'm not against having a military or anything like that.
There are some people flocking over to that from Facebook. The article here from USA Today. The article begins, before turning in for the night, Katie Clark curls up with Instagram, not Facebook. More personal, less drama. The 28-year-old blogger from Littleton, Colorado says, I think it's just a nicer place to be.
I'm on Instagram.
I am too. It's because nobody talks about anything on Instagram.
Everything feels like an advertisement or an argument.
It is. That's exactly the perfect description of Facebook. It's an ad or an argument.
Goodbye, Facebook. Hello, Instagram. Now here's where the irony sets in. Instagram is owned by Facebook.
And people don't know that.
It wasn't always that way, though.
No, but Facebook bought them a couple years back.
In 2012 for $1
billion. $1 billion.
USA Today says Instagram is having a moment and just in time to be a lone bright spot for its parent company, which is in crisis over its handling of people's private information. A Wall Street Research note on Facebook's mounting troubles earlier this week said, thank goodness for Instagram. I will delete Facebook, but you can pry Instagram from my cold, dead hands.
Meanwhile, they're tightly integrated together, so.
Yeah, that's like saying, I'm deleting Google, but you can't take my YouTube.
The problem is there's a certain segment of the population that can't handle that. They lack the maturity, the ability to sort of multitask their life because I see people every day, you know, you go to get your tires, you know, new set of tires. You'll sit in there and there'll be five people all staring at Facebook, all scrolling through.
And this is right, why
but 20 years ago, they were all looking at newspapers.
Right.
So it's not that people are less social now. They're just...
I think they are. They're, you know, definitely
like ignoring
getting
people in different ways.
People used to go out and go shopping at malls and stuff. If you go
or
to a local
have a party
mall
and get together.
Here, like, yeah.
Right.
People still do that. But I've seen the pictures of, you know, people say, oh, look at everybody now staring at their phone on the subway. And then there's the picture from 1950, everybody looking at a newspaper, where everybody was ignoring each other 50 years ago,
too. Because
you
were bored, but who's going to talk to random strangers on the subway? That was never a good idea.
Right, but there are people acting as though people just stopped talking to random strangers on the subway because of...
I mean, communities definitely used to be more, like, integrated.
More than 24 social media users who were surveyed in recent weeks by USA Today say Instagram is now their favorite social network. With feeds filled with inspirational pictures and a chummy vibe, it's their happy place, or at least a whole lot happier than Facebook. But as more of their friends join the hashtag delete Facebook movement, some Instagram junkies are getting worried. Facebook-like problems, such as the aforementioned trolls, political conflicts, and judgmental friends, are already cropping up on Instagram. There are also more and more advertisements. They threat, plus lecherous or spammy messages, and fake news and fake followers. And don't even get users started on Instagram's controversial decision to switch from a chronological feed to a computer algorithm.
No.
Or the growing number of carefully edited posts eating away at the raw authenticity that made Instagram special.
I hate to break it to you, but all your data that you're feeding into Instagram is going to get sold.
Right, but I didn't realize
that
they're actually...
You're going to get a good price for this face.
Is that what it is? You demand top dollar?
I didn't realize there were actually authentic right? posts on Instagram. I thought everything was like heavily edited.
And filters.
For Thanksgiving, I posted a meme. Okay, it's a knockoff of the Miley Cyrus wrecking ball.
So okay, so you were naked on a ball.
No, I'm explaining how Instagram works. It's a turkey on a wrecking ball, and the caption says, I came in like a butterball, which is like a brand of turkeys. I thought it was funny. But anyway,
mildly amusing, and you didn't say hashtag.
No, because, so for the hashtag, you would do something like hashtag Thanksgiving meme, right? And then if you click the hashtag, all the other Thanksgiving memes come up.
Oh, so same it's thing. Kind of like Twitter.
A little bit, yeah.
But
with
pictures.
Images.
Right, with pictures.
So you can do hashtag turkey, hashtag butterball.
And how is that different from Pinterest?
Pinterest, I don't even understand.
Like, it sounds like Instagram is kind of like Pinterest, but
it's a probably, if there's an analogy, there's not an analogy. Each of these things is kind of distinct. I like Twitter because I'm a geek, and all the people I follow there are all in the crypto world, and that's all I want.
All of my favorite ninjas from America Ninja Warrior, they're all on Twitter.
There is so much great activism that has gone on based around Facebook groups or based around other social media on Twitter. The word has exploded out. We look at like situations in the Middle East, the Arab Spring. I mean, if right. it weren't for social media, a lot of that footage would have never got out of there. And it's just a tool. Like any new tool, it
can be, but it can totally be a distraction.
Oh, no disagreement, but
anything can be a distraction.
Right. Every individual.
I've got books of Sudoku.
Right. Every individual needs to come up with how they're going to manage social media in their life. And right. For me, that was doing away with most of my interaction with Facebook and going to another platform that doesn't take nearly as much of my time.
Yeah. And if you go on social media and you just start adding a bunch of random people that you don't know or putting yourself in like some echo chamber, that could be detrimental in the long run if right. you don't actually know these people, because you're going to start investing your time into people, which is you're eventually going to be like them.
Instagram says about 20 million people saw content on Instagram from fake Russian accounts. They also say they allow developers access to information about users that help businesses understand them, to help users share their content to a third party, such as a photo printing service, or to help broadcasters and publishers find content.
And a great quote. I don't know who said it first, but I've heard it here from at least Abe Mark Lincoln. Edge. But if you're getting a product for free, then you are the product. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Your data, everything about your life, everything that can be monetized out of your habits on social media is the product. That's all there is to it.
Yes. And continuing on, they mention Cambridge Analytica, where, Chris, you probably heard about this earlier in the week, where there were disclosures that this company, Cambridge Analytica, used vast amounts of data from Facebook to build profiles of American voters to help Donald Trump's campaign, and that has spurred some Facebook users to delete their accounts and seek refuge on Instagram, a.k.a. Facebook Photo. But even before Cambridge Analytica hijacked headlines, social media users told USA Today that they've been spending less and less time on Facebook and more time on Instagram.
I wanted to follow up a little bit on this concept of, the free staters in some cases kind of trying to hide themselves, you know, when they're running for office and, you know, downplay their connection with the free state movement or whatnot, so that they can get in there, you know, get elected to some tiny office and, you know, make it, you know, reduce by 1/3 of 1% the rate of growth in a tax on beer, you know, or something like that, some really small thing. And then no one even knows they did it because they're hiding what they are. It's sort of like the tree falls in the forest, but you know, if no one hears it, it didn't really fall.
The tree would still fall. We just don't know if it made a noise.
Point taken. Something like that. Daryl, I'm going to yellow card you there for being pedantic. Thank you.
Oh, we have yellow cards now? Can I get one of those things?
I'll bring you in one next time.
All right, perfect.
So I'm going to yellow card when Daryl's pedantic, and I'm going to yellow card you when you're a complete statist.
One.
Fair enough.
No. I'm going to yellow card you.
Dave, continue with your thought.
Lynn Dighton used to say for Britain to win the Battle of Britain was only slightly more important than making sure that the Americans knew they were winning it.
Facebook photo.
That's basically what it's Facebook for photos.
It's completely different, Daryl. There are similarities, but would you?
Owned by Facebook.
So, okay.
Just like YouTube, it's owned by Google, so it's Google Video.
I get what you're saying, Daryl, but you're saying that they're exactly the same. I don't believe they're exactly the same.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do on Facebook that you can't. I mean, there's not Instagram groups There's none of that.
Right.
There's not like Instagram pages. It's all just everybody has one Instagram.
Facebook photo.
Well, the nice thing is the advantage is you don't have to deal with all the noise that goes on there. So, they are individual. And the nice thing is people have choices.
Right.
If you don't want to be on Facebook, don't be on Facebook.
But a lot of the concerns about Facebook is they're stealing my data.
Well, yeah. And
Instagram is doing the same thing. And that's why I'm just saying it's Facebook photo, because the concerns that you have with Facebook taking your data, it's happening on Instagram as well.
Of course. And that is just people not being educated about how widely their data is being sold. Basically what it was there was a law that was created, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act.
Yes.
Was intended to limit the use of auto dialers. So those things that call you every night at 7:30 and try to sell you something, or try to call you at 8 o'clock in the morning to tell you that somebody, you owe somebody money. It was trying to restrict those.
Right.
And what it did was it the FCC under the Obama administration, it meant to toughen this. And they expanded the definition of what an automatic telephone dialing system, which when you're talking about telemarketers and stuff, those are big phone systems that have some, you know, logic set up in them to auto dial, start at, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yep.
And start dialing. But under the law, it was so broad that it really applied to any auto dialer, even those are installed in your cell phone.
Hold on. So when I pick up my phone here and click the little phone thing and I start typing in a number and then it suggests, oh, maybe you met this person. And then I click that name and then it dials.
More likely, it's the fact that you probably have a button that says redial. The judge's opinion continues here, and I'm quoting here. Imagine, for instance, that a person wishes to send an invitation for a social gathering to a person she recently met for the first time. If she lacks prior express consent to send the invitation, and if she obtains the acquaintance's cell phone number from a mutual friend, she ostensibly commits a violation of federal law by calling or sending a text message from her smartphone to extend the invitation. And if she sends a group message inviting 10 people to the gathering, again without securing prior express consent from any of the recipients, she not only would have infringed on the TCPA 10 distinct times, but would also face a minimum damages recovery against her of $5,000, unquote.
Minimum penalty, $5,000.
For sending an invite.
For sending a group text.
Invite. In a statement on Friday, Republican FCC Chairman Ajit Pai praised the court's decision, noting that he had opposed the rules now overturned 2 years ago. He called upon his agency to target, quote, bad actors targeting American consumers with robocalls in a fashion that didn't sweep up millions of American consumers. It's okay for the government to do stuff like that, but we'll also arbitrarily remove the Second Amendment rights of 4.2 million people just because they need help with their checkbook. Officials at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida are requiring that all students only wear clear backpacks on campus as a new round of safety measures are implemented in Broward County Public Schools. Superintendent Robert Runcie on Wednesday stated in a letter that the new rules come amid recent, quote, inquiries regarding the district's efforts to fortify school campuses and enhance safety protocols, unquote. In addition to students having to wear clear backpacks, which the Miami Herald reported will be provided by the school district, students must also wear identification badges while on the Stoneman Douglas campus. Following the February 14th massacre carried out by Nicholas Cruz, a former student, one teacher said an email had circulated among staff letting them know Cruz should not be permitted to wear a backpack on school grounds.
So why stop at clear backpacks?
Right?
Everyone must wear
birthday suits.
Well, no.
They have to wear clothes.
They have to wear something. So you're allowed
underpants. But you can hide a gun in your clothes. Hold on. Chris.
The clothes have to be clear.
Oh my God.
You're allowed underpants, but you must wear a clear raincoat at all time.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.